Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Well, hey, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of Hypecast.
Hypecast.
The show where we get hyped about stuff and things. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I am the other one, David Bell.
And who the hell are you?
I'm Drew Grant.
Hi.
Hi. I work with Tom over at Collider.
You do.
Welcome.
We do that.
Thank you. And I'm like a big fan of your guys' shows, all of them, all 800 podcasts that you guys do.
You shouldn't be. That's too many.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll be listening to them at work and literally responding to Tom in person as if he's still.
Right.
It's kind of confusing.
Well, thank you so much for doing the show today. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shall we get right into the trailer?
I mean, we know what's coming.
Shall we get right into the biggest trailer of all time?
Yes. This is, guys, this is the Sonic trailer.
Oh,
the
Sonic the Hedgehog trailer.
Oh, my God. Now,
I don't know what there is to say that hasn't been said already.
Yeah.
I just don't know what there is to say in general about a Sonic the Hedgehog adaptation. Yes. Like, I don't even know what the plot of Sonic the Hedgehog the game is.
It's not this. It's a live action Sonic movie in 2019. It's like Hellraiser's Puzzle Box.
Yes.
In what year?
In any year.
No, I kind of get it. I kind of get it. Only because of like Detective Pikachu and all like these like CGI live action Disney movies. There must be a market. And I can even see a way where this could be good.
Yes. I get why they did this. Yeah. How is kind of crazy. This trailer, the best take I've heard online is just someone on Reddit who calculated just how many babies or people on life support Sonic killed with the
with his speed burst that knocks out all the power.
Yeah, so this trailer opens with Sonic just killing so many babies. It's just
so many little premature babies.
Yeah. It's I hate judging anything by the trailer, but boy,
it's scary looking. To me, it's an uncanny valley. It looks like Jim Carrey's face has been somewhat swapped with the Sonic face. Like, why does Sonic have teeth? Did he always have teeth? Does he chew?
Like, that's I don't know if he has little baby teeth. He has like human teeth.
And so does Jim Carrey. It's weird.
Well, he's a human man. So.
Yeah, but they capped his teeth. It looks fucking weird. The whole thing's like an uncanny valley.
The CGI is so dated.
Yeah.
It's the, Christ.
I mean, like, but Ben Schwartz, though, possibly? Like,
is what that if who's doing the voice?
Yeah, he's doing Sonic.
What if it's just so out there because we have no expectations of what, like, a Sonic movie should be, unlike, like, a Marvel movie, that it's somehow just the script's good? Like, it somehow works?
There's no way the script is good.
Well, that's the thing. What if the movie's so unconventional that they just didn't know how to market it?
Yeah.
Or
they tried marketing to, the wrong people, like the Pikachu or something.
Yeah,
what if Sonic's not actually in the movie playing Gangster's Paradise? He's playing, like, Nick Cave or something like that.
Right, it's just Red Right Hand.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just so fucking crazy that the marketing team was like, okay, we have to change everything about
this
movie.
What if James Marsden turns out not to be a human?
Yeah,
right. What if he's Tails?
I feel like I'm so glad to know that James Marsden is still making the most weirdly banal but also bizarre theatrical choices as he did in his like younger career before Westworld.
Yeah, he definitely makes some weird ass choices.
TV, he's all good. 30 Rock was great. Like,
In movies.
Movies terrible.
He's like, sorry, I don't have time to be Cyclops anymore because I want to play the guy who's Superman.
The guy who gets cucked by Superman.
Or like opposite Katherine Heigl in I feel like more than one picture.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just weird. My other thought about it, though, is like it seems like a Jim Carrey return to like Ace Ventura. Like there was something about that trailer that felt like good Jim Carrey, not the Jim Carrey that doesn't believe in vaccines.
Right. It was nice to see Jim Carrey kind of back doing a silly role.
Yeah.
I didn't find him that funny in the trailer.
Maybe we've aged out of Jim Carrey.
I don't know.
I don't know. This seems so Howard the Duck.
Right.
Yes. This is Howard the Duck.
Well, that's the thing is the as you were telling me before we started, the director has tweeted or mm-hmm. on social media said like we're gonna fix how Sonic looks.
Yep.
Wait,
within a day.
But yeah. Wait, they've known this is a problem since the first trailer or since the first like thing. Didn't we know this?
We never saw him fully. Like the posters didn't quite show him.
But it immediately was something was off about that poster, right?
Right. He looks like a tiny man.
They should have
known. I don't like that.
Like he has long runner. Like he. Yeah. It was like. They're trying to make us want to fuck Sonic.
When this trailer came out, I know Detective Pikachu. Yeah. No, when this trailer came out, Detective Pikachu started trending because people were like, I have newfound appreciation for this other movie. So you know you fucked up when your marketing is advertising another movie by comparison?
Well, I feel like what Detective Pikachu did, and this is something I've never watched that much Pokemon or anything, but I played the game a bunch, like Pokemon Go. I love that. But is it created a whole world. Like, here's... Now it's like Blade Runner world. Like you're immediately in the trailer. You're like, okay, here's the parameters of this situation. It's not just like, you know, this beloved IP. Here it is in a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this movie just looks bad. Mm-hmm. Like I guess that's what I was getting to is him saying like, we're going to change how the character looks. It's like, are you also going to just rewrite and redo the whole movie? Because it just, nothing about.
That's not your only problem.
Wait, if they just made Ben Schwartz and just like put him in a blue suit?
In a blue mohawk.
I would buy that for a dollar.
Fuck it.
Technically, I'm homeless.
Why are you like this? Pills, baby. Favorite line.
This fucking movie is.
Oh my god.
It's the thing I want to see the most.
I cannot wait to see this movie.
The worst thing this movie could be is like utterly boring. Like,
right.
But I don't know how it could be at this point because I don't know what like his arc is as a Sonic. What is a Sonic? Is he from another planet? Is he?
I'm guessing
maybe he seems to be because he says I'm here to save your world in the trailer. So I guess, but like
I'm guessing
I never understood
Jim
that
Carrey.
From the Genesis games.
I'm guessing Jim Carrey created him.
Yeah, I think that's...
Is that the idea?
I think that's canon.
I'm guessing that...
Does the blue thing, the rings he used to get, do they turn into portals in the trailer? It looks like you can
almost... They look like they
portals.
Do, yes. They look like they're portals.
Cool. That's a cool way to incorporate the rings.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would have no purpose.
Yeah, the deck was stacked against them from the start. Because this is an insane premise to try to adapt.
Well, I don't understand why they're not...
What's the premise? What is the premise?
Well, right. I mean, there were several Sonic games. There was a cartoon for a long time.
Oh.
Like, so there's other, like, he's got friends and other characters in this universe. I don't understand why this isn't an animated movie.
Because right now, nothing's animated. Everything's like...
Just make it like fucking an animated movie in the sun. Like, it could be like a... I mean, Angry Birds isn't a good movie, but like...
Yeah.
That's a perfect... Like, that makes so much sense for the Sonic movie to be.
Wait, but I remember when Angry Birds came out, which was several years after Angry Birds was popular, and everyone was like, we don't need this. It was the same reaction. Everyone was like, why the hell is this? Why now?
Yes.
Like,
but I'm saying at least they put them in their own unit. Like, they didn't try to make a movie about, what if Angry Birds were here? Like, they just put it in.
This is how low the bar is right now. But you're like, couldn't it at least be like the Angry Birds movie?
Or like,
I haven't seen Angry Birds movie. Do they live in their own universe? What is that universe? Just Angry Pigs, Angry Birds?
Yeah. They live on islands. And I mean, it's in this own fantasy world. It's like in the first Smurfs movie where they inexplicably put them in the real world. And then the next two, they're like, no, fuck that. They're in their own cartoon world.
Yeah, this is...
Wait, really? The second Smurf movie, they like...
Yeah.
So they cool world the Smurf.
They cool worlded it.
Wait, I want to see more of the opposite. I do want to see more cool world, like people becoming cartoons.
Yeah, I mean,
I want to see more Monkey Bone.
Yeah, it's Monkey Bone.
Right. It won't be good for the studios, but it'll be great for us.
It'll be awesome for us. It'll be awesome for kids renting movies in 10 years.
Yeah.
I just don't, because like Blue Sky is making a Mario movie, or at least they were. I don't know if Nintendo's going to yank that license, but Blue Sky made like
yeah.
When was the last time there was a Sonic game? Like, did kids know about this? Who's the audience for this?
People our age, I assume.
Yeah, I think that's why this trailer. That's why Gangster's Paradise is in it.
Yeah,
that's because it has not good.
It has
that's
no, no. It's so bad.
If we're the intended audience, that's not good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I think they just didn't know. They were like, okay, we're gonna do it for like older people who remember Sonic to bring their kids to it or something.
A novelty headline.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think they know why they're doing it. I think it's, and I would say this about a lot of movies, is I think they just get excited and then they start going. Before they know it, they got a Sonic movie and they're like, what? Okay, no, who is this for? Did we check?
I see it like more like just pre-existing IPs are just like everybody's bread and butter. Look what they did with Marvel. Look what they did with like Pikachu. Look what they're doing with like DuckTales and everything and like Star Wars.
Yeah, but they didn't take Scrooge McDuck and put him in the real world. Is like it's
but you're saying physically, like actually live action?
Right. Like they didn't make a DuckTales movie that's like a couple of CGI ducks in like human world. Like
It's like that Simpsons episode where Homer gets to be like in the human world, just looks all wrong.
Right. Oh, yeah. I can't get past the fact that it's,
I think,
why isn't this an animated movie?
I think because they thought, I don't know, they must have saw something and they thought
Pikachu.
Like, oh, let's do that.
I feel like this movie was burnt out, like, you know, was turned out like somehow during the Pikachu
this trailer. Movie has been in development for a shockingly
but do
long
you think
time.
Well, is this like a Deep Impact Armageddon situation where like the studios got wind that the other one was working on something like that, or one of them kind of stole it from the other? So someone was like I could even see Pikachu being like, they're making a live action Sonic. Oh, let's do that with Pikachu,
right.
But like good.
Well, Pikachu's more relevant because we have Pokemon Go. Like, yeah. And it's younger people will see it. This, I wonder if someone, if it's been in the works for so long, but it was just happened to be greenlit now, I assume that it was related to Detective Pikachu.
Maybe. The thing about Detective Pikachu that I really respect is the fact that it is so insane, and it's like clearly insane from the trailer.
Yeah, they leaned into it.
Yeah, they're like, hey, let's just throw you into this
batshit
world.
Yeah, but it's like a whole, it's not our world, it is some other
world. It's the Pokemon world.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Think that's awesome.
Also, like we were in a part where, like, Toy Story 4, there's this cat that looks so realistic that, like, people weren't able to tell that it wasn't just a regular cat on Twitter. Like, we're in that point where animation's that good. Then why are we, like, going back to some weird Uncanny Valley shit? Like, why not just make good animation?
Look, man, they can only spend... they can only spend about $90 million on this Sonic movie.
I know, and Jim Carrey's half of that.
Yeah.
Probably. I was telling Dave, and of course we found this out at work. I don't know if I'm getting in trouble for saying this, but the marketing budget for this film is $85 million.
Oh my God, I forgot. Did we know that today?
The day the trailer dropped.
Oh my God.
That is...
You know, that's so upsetting to me. You know what? I need to go home. I'm done. Thanks for having me. I'll be on my way.
That marketing company needs to... go out of business.
Like, they released a trailer and then a day later the director's like, we're changing Sonic, we're changing the way he looks, don't worry. Like, that's a marketing catastrophe.
I wonder like what they
spent too much money.
What did they lace the fucking market testing group on? Like, that were like, yeah, this is passable. Like, this is a good idea.
I don't know, man.
Again, it might be something. I want to see like how the script looks. I want to see
Oh, I'm good. There's nothing could keep me from seeing this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to see this movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's more
what if they give him a human love interest? I'm interested in that concept. Like, does Sonic have a Mrs. Sonic?
Yeah, it's James Marsden.
I don't know. I think
he's gonna hook up with James Marsden.
I think we're going to learn that Jim Carrey caused the blackout in the trailer. And it'll just be the government is after Sonic and James Marsden has to sneak him into places and it's funny. And then at the end, there's a big, dumb, superhero-style battle.
They're going to make some friends along the way.
Yeah, and Jim Carrey's going to get hauled off, and there'll be a post-credits, like, they're trying to open the world up. They'll hint at other characters.
Well, they've already established that Jim Carrey is not, like, beloved by the other military entities, so yeah, they'll be...
Yeah,
it's basically a running Chernobyl thing that's going on here. Like, it just needs to contain
Chernobyl on two lithe runners' legs.
I can see that general being like, "Take them away."
And yeah, exactly.
And then Jim Carrey would be like, "Yeah," and they're like, "I was talking about you." Like, I think the ultimate
answer.
Laughing
at that.
Yeah, I think the answer to this movie is it's going to be extremely mediocre.
I think I'm going to like Jim Carrey. He seems good. He seems like he's doing a thing.
He is doing a thing.
That's what he did the best at.
Because they even tease that his appearance is going to change.
To look like Robotnik in the
game. I think that's going to be the post-credit. I think what's going to happen is whatever bad guy the explosion or whatever that ruins him at the end is going to like make him look like that.
Oh, how bad is that CGI going to be?
Yeah. I think it's
at least as bad as all the missiles stopping for him to check his steps.
Right.
That's funny, but that's cartoon logic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's because he's so fast. I get it.
He's stopping time.
Yeah. And the thing about the Reddit theory is that's funny, but it's also like, it's cartoon world stuff. There's power out. Remember Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, where they literally got Las Vegas for the first time in history to turn off all the lights specifically for that movie.
So it was like worth it.
For that gigantic baby.
Yeah, for that gigantic baby. The first time in history, like stuff like that just makes me furious.
Yeah. They didn't know. I mean, the first movie was a hit. Why not?
But Las Vegas, that's like the place. Like if you have something like you've never turned off your light forever and you're like, but this Rick Moranis sequel's coming along.
Yeah.
I know Las Vegas has never turned its lights off, but let me tell you something. Rick Moranis is coming here with a movie about a giant baby. And listen, if ever there was a time when we would turn up our lights.
Yeah, exactly.
It's today.
It was a simpler time.
Yeah. We should probably move on. I think we've talked about Sonic enough.
Or we could talk about it for the whole episode.
I mean,
the problem is I don't have that much to say about Sonic. That is literally its probably big flaw right now is I don't care. I don't know. Like, what's the story?
The world only has about five things to say about it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody had anything to say. The plot is that he needs to beat up this scientist guy.
To save the planet? Does he have future sense?
But the guy is, I'm going to say, really far. So he has to run a lot to get to him.
Okay.
That's what I can make out from the...
Yeah.
Why did he come to this planet though? Like, does he care? Does his people care about this planet?
He's from this planet. I don't think he's an alien.
Don't they say like, I'm here to save your planet?
Yeah, he says something. I'm save your world.
World,
which could mean anything.
Oh, that could be multiverse.
Yeah,
or could mean the world of men.
Is Sonic the only?
I am but a hedgehog.
Is Sonic the only creature like that? Like, do you think there's going to be other animated creatures? Is he the only thing? He's this anomaly, this freak of freaking nature that we probably should have locked up somewhere.
I don't think there will be in this movie.
Okay.
I think they're going to do what Dave said and be like, tease, like, we're going to bring in all this, like, Tails and Knuckles. Yeah.
Oh, Tails. That was the name.
I want the first scene of this to be a guy just having sex with a hedgehog in a radioactive blue dye factory.
Yeah, like a sexy female hedgehog.
Yeah, yeah. And then we just go from there.
Yep.
Oh my God, this is just bringing back flashbacks. I think Sonic.
Oh, it's out there.
Yeah, Sonic.
I feel like everybody's accidentally seen Sonic porn.
You knew where I was going. I feel like it was on a Something Awful blog, but I've definitely seen a curvaceous Sonic, which did not seem as disturbing as Sonic with tiny teeth.
Yeah, with tiny little baby teeth.
Yeah.
I hate it. Burn it with fire.
It's very hateable. What's next?
See You Yesterday
is
next.
Yeah, this is a Netflix movie about time travel.
It's produced by Spike Lee.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks great.
Looks good.
You know why it's produced by Spike Lee?
Why?
The director was Spike Lee's assistant on Black Klansman.
The director of this?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's a fun fact.
Yeah.
Another fun fact is this is literally the plot, basically one-to-one, except for the device itself, of one of the new Twilight Zone episodes of the Jordan Peele ones. And it's the worst episode.
Really?
Because it tries to do that thing of like time travel, but with the racial cop element, and it just becomes so heavy-handed, and I really hope this movie, I don't know, Terrence Howard seems pretty sweaty in it, like,
right?
Well, I mean, sweaty Terrence Howard makes a good film.
that's true.
I don't know, it's about a little girl whose older brother gets shot by the cops, and she has a time travel device, I believe they're called time machines.
Yeah.
That she's trying to go back and stop it from happening.
I think it's I'm not the person to speak on this, but I feel like a story about a young black man who is shot by the cops is a story in itself.
Right.
And then adding the time machine element
kind of gives it a like a
almost like takes that away, the importance of that. That said, I'm betting that's it's more profound than
what
the trailer is making it out to be.
However,
like, in this trailer, it feels like it's like the butterfly effect, where it's just like some inciting incident causes them to keep going back in time. But
they only have so many chances. They say at the end, she's like, they literally put the thing in there. We only have two more chances.
Yeah.
I will say that the director also, something else I learned today, his favorite movies, can we guess?
Mm-mm.
Back to the Future Part 2.
Good.
Do the Right Thing.
Okay.
Checks out.
So we know how this movie
came. Two films.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, I assume this movie has a lot more to say about it, and the time travel will factor into
the event. I don't think Spike Lee would put his name
I don't know, but he can be pretty heavy-handed too.
He can be, but I'm saying I don't think he would put his name on something that would sort of diminish the impact of making a film about something that is currently like a
It just seems tonally weird. I just feel like maybe it's like tonally weird. It seems like it starts out as this like comedy, like this sort of like time travel stuff is usually not this intensely.
You just watched the butterfly effect.
This intensely, like, it's usually time travel to stop an event, but this seems so like this topic needs to be handled with kid gloves. That to combine the genre.
I don't
genre.
Know. I can see how a movie like this could be really profound. Like,
maybe.
You take casting it from like she's, you know, a kid's perspective of something terrible in your life happens.
Yes.
You're like, I want to go back and change it. What if I could? And then, like, you know,
I also think that stories about race or class or police brutality or heavy things can be done in, I don't want to call this whimsical, in a weird way. And it might be better for it. I think of Sorry to Bother You, which is mostly about class.
That's Michelle Condry, sort of.
And it's done in such a crazy way that it's like, I don't know, this idea of tackling kind of social issues with crazy sci-fi, which I feel like we've gotten a bit of more recently. Yeah. I want more of it.
Yeah.
Sure. This is the dread sense that I have about what the ending is, which is like it's going to be a thing where the cop was so racist that nothing is going to change the like this is like some commentary about like how this cop was always going to kill this kid, whether it was like this situation or like earlier or later. Like it's just going to be some just blanket fatalism.
I don't know.
Yeah. Time travel is tough because
they only have two more tries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows what they're going to say with this? All I know is that I want to see it.
Yeah, it's a Netflix movie, so it'll...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No. I wonder if it's going to be playing by Endgame rules, like if it's like the future setting.
Which are indecipherable. I don't care what everybody else at work says.
I thought the Endgame rules made sense.
They did not make sense.
This is a good version of time travel, but we don't need to get into it. Unless you want to, I can't.
No, we don't want to spoil
it. I actually think they made okay sense.
Yeah,
I think the characters decided they made sense and then moved on.
Well, anything involving time travel literally involves making a decision.
Right, yeah.
I don't want to spoil it. We'll talk about it later, but there is one reason they don't make sense.
Well, there's a bunch of reasons.
There's several reasons. We're not going to spoil it on Hypecast.
No.
You guys can listen to our...
Guys,
we
it's
just
been
watched.
A week.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know. This looks good. I don't have any like hard criticisms of this trailer. I'm just more like curious of what the hell they're going to be doing with this.
Sure.
I'm just worried because of it's literally just like this Twilight Zone, the one with Glenn Fisher.
I've only seen one of the new Twilight Zones.
The free one?
Yes. That would be the one. And my biggest criticism of that is I really liked the idea of it. It would have been great if it was like 15 minutes long. It felt like the premise was pretty well established very quickly. And then they just kept kind of going and it felt like they were, I don't know, trying to
fill it.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. Wait till you see the Adam Scott one, which is the exact opposite.
Really?
And not in the greatest way. Like,
oh, no.
It's like Lost or something. Anyway, that's a different topic, probably not for this podcast.
Yeah, sure. I guess so. What's the next trailer?
Deadwood!
Yep!
I've never seen the show.
It. So good.
HBO just sent me all three seasons. I'm going to watch it. I think it's going to end like Little House on the Prairie, right? Like the whole idea.
It's all going to explode.
Yeah.
Everything's going to explode.
Just in this trailer and what I know of Deadwood, these people would rather blow up their own town than have it bought out.
I don't know. I don't want to give away too much about the other seasons, but it's fairly optimistic.
You think so? I mean, like, you can spoil the show, Deadwood. It's been out for so long.
Yeah, it's basically, it is like these people who are kind of clashing in this town who kind of band together to tell a rich guy who comes in the town to fuck off. There's a lot of, like, them kind of rejecting the future, yes, which was a big part of this trailer as well. Specifically, Al Swearengen, like, yeah, gets very mad when the future shows up in any way.
Oh, and there's is that the really old guy who's like,
Ian McShane, yeah.
No, what's like the really old guy who was like, I don't think I'm ready for this.
Oh,
like,
that's J.F. Sebastian. Yeah. What's his name on the show?
Oh, shit. Fuck.
He becomes the mayor.
He does. He becomes a lot of things. God damn it. Why his name is...
Watching the trailer, I just had the idea that, like, oh my God, they use such purple language that I, like, feel like I need a thesaurus. Like, the first line that Ian McShane has is such a, like, Shakespearean-level insult that I was like, what? What? I was, like, not even sure if I heard their words correctly.
That's how Deadwood rules. Yeah.
I thought it was just used, like, modern curses and stuff, but no, it's like... I thought it was like Game of Thrones, like how they all kind of speak colloquially. No, they speak like a heightened language.
They speak like High Valyrian.
I know.
In Deadwood.
He's Farnham, right?
Yeah. Yeah. P.T. Farnham. Oh, was that his name?
E.B. Farnham.
E.B. Farnham.
Oh, I wonder how they got that name.
Is a real guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
mostly real people.
Oh, my God. Even John Hawks.
Yeah. John Hawks is a real guy in this.
Yeah. The man.
It was sad that we saw the thing about David Milch, like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got Alzheimer's.
So I really want to get into Deadwood and, like, appreciate it.
It's real good. Yeah. Everybody should watch it.
It's one of the best shows.
I've only gotten into it, like, into the idea of watching it because of the podcast that you guys do. That made it sound
We just constantly
pretty
talk
good.
About Deadwood.
Yeah, and the way you just described it as a town banding together, like, after the infighting to reject a bigger baddie. I love that concept. That's, like, my favorite trope of anything.
There's a lot of stuff in between.
There's almost a... Like, the pleasure you get watching Deadwood is similar, actually, to the pleasure watching, like, the Avengers, which is seeing characters that you've been watching start working together in ways.
Friends become enemies.
Yeah. And so it's a very satisfying show, even though it was cut short. Even the final episode is still relatively, like, satisfying for what it was. I'm so glad we're getting a movie, though.
Yeah.
Well, that's the one thing TV can do that I feel like movies, unless they're a franchise, can't do, which is, like, have that thing where you build up, like, an enemy. You build up, like, a big bad. Like, Boardwalk Empire did that so well. Like, the shifting alliances.
Oh,
and then,
yeah.
Oh, no, now Jeffrey Wright's the main bad guy, and all the other people that kind of were infighting and killing each other suddenly have to get over it and fight, like, a bigger bad. Love that trope.
I love it.
That's Deadwood.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes out in May. Everybody should watch it. Yep. Watch the series and then watch the movie.
Yeah, and the
new
trailer.
You have time. It's only three seasons, right?
Yeah.
The new trailer seems to promise a lot. Pretty much everybody's back.
Yeah, except for the dead people.
Yeah.
Like Powers Booth.
Yeah, and the fictionally
and the people
dead
who died
people.
Within the show.
Oh, it's
Did
like Twin
you
Peaks.
Have you gotten through the whole show?
Not the whole show.
Okay, I don't want to reveal.
Wait, you haven't gotten through the whole show? You guys constantly talk about Deadwood. What are you doing with your time?
I haven't gotten through season three.
Oh, my God.
So did you get to, I don't want to spoil Deadwood.
It's okay. I never finished The Wire. I got to that final season and I was like, this show is weird.
They get
to the part where he was like making up homicides of like creating a serial. He created a fake serial killer to get the papers interested in these hobo deaths.
Right.
And I was like, this is fucking insane. Like, I don't believe this show anymore. For a show so grounded in realism, that was a weird arc.
I gotta rewatch that as well. It's been a minute. I love that show. I don't know what this next one is.
Oh, which one? Let me see.
I don't remember it. It must not have been that good.
Which
it's
one is
called
it?
Assimilate.
Oh wait, that one.
Oh,
I like.
It's Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
No, it's the Faculty.
Oh,
it's like
no,
it's both.
One,
it's both.
Yes, this one does look great.
This one looks pretty good. It looks pretty good. It looks very 90s.
It's very low budget.
Oh shit,
it is low budget. I meant looks like the concept look.
Oh yeah, but you can tell
it's hiding its low budget, but yeah, the moment CGI shows up you're like ooh.
Well, you can kind of tell from the video quality.
Yeah,
like,
that too.
But
I love
it.
It's got
so
that
good.
No, it looks good.
It has that actor I didn't put his name down, but he's in The Act on Hulu, and he's in some Jeff mentioned something else he was in, and he's so good. Like that little weird looking kid with he has a kind of reddish hair.
Oh, right. Was it the murderer from the act?
Yeah, there's yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like he's a I remember clocking him and being like, that guy's probably in some more stuff that I should check out.
It's, I never get sick of the body snatchers trope. And they do something like the weird ant things in this.
Ants? I thought they were spiders.
The little bug cricket.
I don't know what the hell they crawl
on you and bite you and turn into you and then they kill you.
So how does that work? They bite you, but then they turn into you? But like,
yeah, I guess they eat your DNA and then use it to become a double and then they kill you so that...
Is that definitely canon?
That's the rules, that's the rules they establish in the trailer.
Is it in a different order where they eat you and kill you and then you shit out your... You?
What?
I don't know. It's,
because do you mean they're hiding bodies somewhere?
Why would they eat your DNA and then kill you? Wouldn't that be the same thing?
I know you're not, but like somebody got bit on the leg in the trailer.
Okay, so like they enter your bloodstream maybe and then like take over like on the, you know, like use with the brains.
I think ideally they would eat you while they were assimilating.
They're not that big.
Yeah.
I just, I mean, I like this concept. It also reminds me of Slither a little bit, like kind of like just like an original monster. It just feels fresh to have something original that we don't know the rules of. Look, the way we're talking about it, like we don't know what this thing is.
Yeah,
yeah. The trailer's already got us talking about it in this way. I don't know. It is a little budget, but it looks quite good.
Yeah.
So.
Oh man, I didn't know if it was a little budget when the guy opened his mouth and it was all big. I was like, I have high hopes. I have high hopes for any horror movie that doesn't look like it's just the same thing.
I'll watch every horror movie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
This, I don't know if this is going to be a horror movie. It might be more like, grotesque and maybe comedic.
It seems pretty horror.
Like,
it seems
There were some creepy ass moments.
I mean, what other category would this be in?
Yeah. I think it's more like horror comedy or like it's, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I didn't detect any funny joke.
I was like, there's no joke in there.
Yeah, I don't tend to get too scared of... Maybe it's me. Like, the body snatcher stuff never scares me, I guess.
You know, the scariest thing to me is not body snatchers, that concept, but the people who have... It's like a rare psychological disorder where you believe that people have been swapped out by doubles. That's terrifying to me.
Isn't that... And I haven't watched this movie and I need to. Is that what They Look Like People is about?
Yes.
Okay. I need to watch that fucking movie.
That movie is very good.
Yeah,
if that's
what
I'm thinking
good.
Of, it's like the two friends and it's kind of...
I think so. I've never seen it, so...
I think so. I think
it's one of those... There's a bunch of those fucking horror movies that... Mm-hmm. I've been trying to scoop them all up, like the one with Don Draper's daughter in it.
Oh, that one wasn't that good, where she's at the boarding school?
Blackcoat's daughter.
Yeah. Blackcoat's daughter.
Yeah, that was okay. A Dark Song I watched recently, I think I mentioned already on this, was surprisingly good. A lot of these small indie fucking horror movies, they're hard to...
They Look Like People is the one I was thinking of. It's excellent. But that's like, that's more like what's going on. Yes, it is like
that it's more psychological, right?
Yes.
Even the trailer kind of, because that was one of those movies that I think got like bad audience reviews.
Bad audience
because
score,
audiences wanted fucking body snatchers.
Oh, it's good. No, it's good. It reminds me of the stuff those two guys do, the guys that did Spring and
The
that,
Endless.
The
as
Endless,
well, yeah.
Yes.
I fucking love those guys.
I love this guy.
Yeah. I love those guys. I want to give them a budget. I want someone to give them money.
They did a incredible things with The Endless.
The Endless, and it's related. It's like a parallel movie to their first one, the one where the guys
Spring?
Are in the first one.
Oh, no. I haven't seen the first one.
Oh, well, it's about those two guys in the cabin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the whole movie.
Really?
That's why when they went there, I was like, oh, my God, wait, I feel like I've seen this movie. Yeah, the whole movie is about those two guys. And
that's
different
great.
Guys. Yeah, it's real good.
I didn't know that. No, I need to check that out. What's the next one?
I added this in because I thought it would be funny. Good Sam.
This looks like dog shit.
It looks like such amazing dog shit.
This reminds me of that movie Dear God starring Greg Kinnear, only 10,000 times.
Oh God, I remember
this
that.
This didn't look like... This is probably a religious movie, I'm assuming.
Yes. Well, there were feathers falling from the sky at the end.
Oh, was there?
I want to say this seems like some... This movie could take a turn. This seems like something the Joker would do.
Yeah.
Like, this definitely doesn't seem like an act of like... Just random kindness. It's just not random to give out over $800,000. Yeah. I think is the point we reached
each
in the journal.
This movie is.
Who has that much money? As a journalist, it's not that hard to look in New York and see who has that much liquid cash on them and figure it out.
This movie is propaganda. Like it
really
feels like it.
It's capitalist propaganda.
Yes, it feels. Yes, it's.
Because what is it to say?
It's probably tying capitalism and religion and like, oh God.
The idea of it is that people will get nicer if they watch someone get nicer. No, people get nicer because they think someone's watching them to give them rewards for being nice.
Right.
And the idea that like, yeah, money makes you happy. Like, of course these people are fucking happy all of a sudden.
It's a weird message.
What do they say? What kind of stories does the reporter do? In the beginning, they say feel bads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it feels like that. Like a child wrote it where it's like
it's like the news is so depressing, but the world's really not that great. It's really not that bad.
Also, it seems obvious. If someone was handing out tons of money and you just might get it one day, yeah, you might start doing things like paying for someone's groceries. Like the world would be a more exciting and more hopeful place if people were just handing out buckets
of cash.
Right.
Money doesn't make you happy, but the idea of it.
Clearinghouse still driving around giving people gigantic checks.
Think about how many people in New York get lottery tickets.
Right. If they wanted to actually do, because I have actually done good things in my life. Because I've seen like a friend do something good.
Yes, it's a pay it forward concept.
But it's like subconscious. It's just like, I'll do something nice just thinking about it. They could do a movie like that where they start with like one good deed and it snowballs and nothing's connected. And it doesn't have to be like giving money. It could just be like following a chain of people doing little nice things
you know what the ending of this, right? It's a dead guy. It's definitely a dead guy who's like left it in his will to give it out like
oh
this.
Yeah, probably.
Like his butler is dropping it off.
I guess I'm just saying,
Jesus, poor butler.
If you want to have this message, there are at least creative ways of doing it.
I mean,
this is so ugh.
I do like that maybe it's an origin story about how this woman ends up as Vicky from The Good Place, like a literal demon, like how this woman, because yeah, I feel like I could watch that.
That would be great. I want this movie to be surprisingly dark.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like I said, this seems like this is like straight up Joker stuff. This is like something a supervillain would do, or like a Mexican drug cartel while really coked up, just throwing money out the window.
I like the idea that this is someone who just needs to get rid of this money.
Yeah.
Really
fast. This cash is too hot, man. I gotta go.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about that anymore.
Yep. You put that on there to troll us.
This next one is called Too Old to Die Young.
Yeah, it's an Amazon series by Nicholas Winding Refn.
I don't remember. I just watched this trailer. What was...
Miles Teller is a cop that also is dirty.
That looks fun.
He shoots somebody he's not supposed to.
Right.
He shoots a woman.
Yeah.
And then we're supposed to care about his... I know that I think you like this, but like, I can't care about the narrative arc of some cop who's supposed to be made crooked after he already shoots a woman.
I think he's crooked to begin with.
No, because then they do the whole thing where like, you have to pay off your debt. And he's like, I don't want to.
I took from it that he was already in too deep with the criminal element, and then things happen and he shoots this woman.
Just the opening line of this, where it's Miles Teller, and then it's like, I killed a woman. And I was like, I just like burst out laughing. I was like, yeah, that sounds about right, Miles Teller.
Yeah, is Miles Teller good?
He's okay.
He's a pretty good actor.
Because Whiplash is amazing.
Spectacular Now is great.
I never seem spectacular
as
now.
A person. No, he's not good. He's not a good person.
Okay, because Whiplash is good because of not necessarily him. Like, he's fine in it, but
I think
obviously it's J.K. Simmons, like, is the reason that movie is so fucking good. And then the only other thing I've seen him in is the Fantastic Four. Mm. Which...
I've seen him in good stuff. He was even good in the Divergent movies. Like, he can play good guy, bad guy. Like, he can do it. I think probably takes the right director. He seems like, you know, from the interviews I read, he seems like a real asshole. So it probably takes the right kind of director to get a good performance.
Okay, but he is a good actor.
He gave a real douchey, like, GQ or
you
something.
You remember that? Like,
right after
I cannot remember what it was or the details, but I just know I hate him.
Yeah, it was. Sure. I mean, it's he's a, you know, whatever. Guy in his 20s just now blowing up. I probably would have given a douchey interview too.
But
I'm not gonna hold that interview against
him. Well, here's my thing. Is it supposed to be like a Bad Lieutenant? Like, is this like a, and isn't it like the choreography by the guy who, or choreography, the cinematography by the guy who did Drive, or the score?
It's the director and the composer of Drive.
It looked, I mean, the visuals looked great. Yeah.
Nicholas Winding Refn directed Drive.
Okay.
And another John Hawks interview like movie too. Yeah.
This is then my only criticism of this then is that I don't know if I want to live in it for seasons on end.
No.
It probably is a one season.
Okay,
thing.
Because Drive is one of those things where it's like, I really like that movie, but if that was a TV show, it would exhaust me.
It's just, I don't, are we watching a character fall from grace? Are we watching a, like, redeem him? I just don't know how much I can emotionally connect with a guy who's literally, it's out the gate, it's just like, I killed a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
Whoops. And they're like, what do you feel like? And he's like, I don't feel anything. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm sorry. I don't want to watch a show about you.
Yeah, it has
unless
to
you're Ted Bundy.
Right.
Yeah.
The only time it's been, because like Breaking Bad, obviously they start by you sympathizing with him, and slowly he becomes a monster. I always thought The Sopranos did a good job because the first few episodes you're just like, oh, this guy's fucked up. This guy's a monster. And then by like the third season, you're just like, yeah, you should have paid him. He's going to kill you. Like, that's what happens, you idiot.
They do this.
Why did you piss off Tony
Soprano? Right. That's actually an interesting point because it's like, right, anti-heroes we can get on board with. A character, though, who's like, I feel nothing, like is dead inside. Like, how are we supposed to get into that world? Or like,
I don't know. It's kind of a lot of this director's movies deal with that. So.
Huh.
Is Ryan Gosling is not a good person in Drive.
But, he's not like someone who's like, I feel nothing if he killed a woman.
No, he doesn't hurt anybody that doesn't deserve it.
Right,
sure,
but I mean, like, and the implication, I think, from the trailer is the woman somehow was connected to the underworld because they're like, you're going to pay off your debt of killing her.
Yeah, they seem to imply that she got caught in some kind of crossfire, like he's making a bust or something, and the situation progresses so that he shoots her.
Query whether this contains a supernatural element, because whoever that woman, that blonde woman was in the Bob, and she says something really creepy, like, did you get the guy, or like, I have a feel, you know, like, it's almost like there might be a weird LA vibe to this movie.
Oh, I don't know. I think most of his movies are filmed in, well, no, actually, that's not true. The follow-up he did, Only God Forgives, was like mostly in Thailand.
Oh my God, that's the one with Gosling as well, right? Mm-hmm. And it's Michelle Williams, is that it? No, Carey Mulligan? No, that was the
That's Drive. You're talking about his mom in that movie?
Only God from
I think it's Kirsten Scott Thomas.
Huh. Okay.
I think.
I need to see that one.
It's not bad. It's if you're coming into it expecting another Drive, it's not that.
That's what I heard.
But like this one's Only God Forgives seems closer to what this show is, where it's like he's kind of a scumbag and tries to get redeemed, and he doesn't really. He just, well, I don't want to spoil it for you.
Right.
It's like West Coast Scorsese, but like somehow without all the oomph, like that that character.
Yeah. I don't know. I really like this director, and I'm going to watch the show.
You know what?
So.
It looked pretty. The moment out the gate when he was like, I killed somebody, I don't feel anything about it. I was like, well, then. Fuck you then. Like, I don't care about your story.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's fair.
I also don't want to see him redeemed. I don't want to see him start going to meetings and like talking about his feelings.
Oh, I don't know that's what the show is gonna
be. I'm just saying, if they go in that direction of like, where does a character move if he starts out that low? Does he try to get redeemed like in Drive? Like, I don't want to see that.
I think it goes along like I have no idea how this show is gonna do it, but I mean like a Breaking Bad or like The Shield.
Oh, I could see like The Shield.
The first episode of The Shield starts out with him shooting another cop in the face because he's gonna rat on him.
That's what happens in The Shield.
First episode of
Michael
The Shield.
Is The Shield good?
Yeah, I liked it.
It felt like I never saw it. It seemed like it was a '90s TV. Like, I haven't watched The West Wing for that reason.
I've tried to get through The West Wing. I can't. There's something wrong with me.
Really? Like, I assume they were very good when they came out and then got dated. Like, it's like rewatching The X-Files. I love The X-Files, but if someone was like, I can't get into it, I wouldn't get mad at them because it feels like a product of its time.
You have no idea.
Well, I mean, it came on TV the same time as like The Wire and like...
Really?
Yeah, came out in like 2002. It's kind of a combination between Breaking Bad and The Wire.
Here's the thing though, like I watched House literally on Sunday night. That show has aged terribly.
Yeah,
he seems like the most toxic red pill, like Trumpian motherfucker.
I just rewatched the whole series.
Oh my God. That show has such a different context. I felt like I used to love that show and I loved House and I loved all the things. And now I'm like, no, he should be in jail. Like, he definitely needs to be in jail. And also,
there are whole seasons about like he should be in jail.
But Robert Morse is supposed to, or David Morse is like supposed to be the bad guy. Like, he's the antagonist.
Well, that's the respect I'll give House is the fact that they do at one point say, stop everything. We're going to put him in a fucking hospital.
Oh, yeah. I
like he has to go to
And Lin-Manuel was in that episode.
Yes.
That was his rapping roommate.
It's so weird.
I felt like that was like, I mean, it's a good show about like whatever, but like the show just hits all these notes that weren't problems at the time. Like, there are issues like with insurance, like where like they mention insurance just in passing only sometimes and only as like the most random kind of plot device.
Right. They also do the horrendous sexual harassment.
Yes.
And they call attention to it, but then they make all the women characters like kind of okay with it or tolerating it.
Not only that, but all women in that show who like involve themselves in any sort of like extramarital whatever are right. like not given the same free pass that like every male character from right. Wilson onward.
Oh yeah. It's the reason I rewatch is because I love having a background show.
Yeah.
And it's very good background show.
It's kind of a panic attack background show for me because they zoom in on like what could be going wrong with your body.
Yes. Yes. That is kind of awful.
Mm.
When they're like, we're going to zoom through your body and make you see an aneurysm happen that could be happening in you right now.
Oh, God. There's something else. Oh, he like brings a lot of trans date like prostitute dates I feel like at different points on the show and like it's supposed to be like
yeah that's pretty
it's like
problematic.
Oh like this and like, it's just so well, much is problematic
again,
now
they do okay I'll give them some credit because there's one part where he brings a trans prostitute to a dinner
yes
to freak out Wilson
and they're okay with it
yeah and they just have a lovely dinner and he gets mad so like he's the asshole
and he ends up with a prostitute at the end of wait do you guys know how House ends this is a side tangent but do you know the last episode
I have seen the last episode I can't tell you what it was
He's like in a burning building you know what just watch it it ends real weird
or don't it goes off the rails
yeah
let's keep going
yeah
I want to talk about House
Cast
yeah I'll do a House podcast
Jeremy Renner is in an episode okay okay Crawl,
guys.
Crawl.
I have so many feelings.
I'm excited.
It's an alligator movie.
Yeah.
Produced by Sam Raimi and directed by Alexander
Aja. Is that why it was such a good trailer? First of all, yeah. It's just like one of the best trailers I've seen recently. The timing, the way like everything was well done, except for the fact that I feel like they showed you showed the part where the protagonist loses an arm.
Maybe she seems to be shooting through the alligator's head.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Are there more than one alligator, I assume?
Yes.
Yeah. This is... Fuck,
it's.
Yes.
I mean, Alexander Aja directed High Tension, so however you feel about that. But, you know...
Well, this movie can't... The alligator can't be the person. So
right, it's not... Yeah, right. But, like, Hills Have Eyes remake, the Piranha remake, Mirrors, which is a terrible movie that has one incredibly relevant...
I gotta watch Mirrors
...memorable
again.
Scene.
What's Mirrors? Oh, yeah.
Mirrors is a Kiefer Sutherland movie. The scene what I'm talking about is when...
Oh, I know that movie. Yeah. I've never seen it, but I know what that is.
Sorry.
So
what
it's gonna be crazy violent, is what
like,
I'm
what
saying.
If they do a flashback and she's the one jumping out of the water?
Just biting people.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's
like a dolphin. Just
what if it's the identity
necks?
of
it well, could be.
Well, here's also the part about it. When I first started watching Charlie, I was like, this is not for me because disaster movies like are not my thing. But I love how they make a horror movie within the disaster movie construct because, yeah, like that would be fucking crazy. Yeah. Like you're already like the country's underwater, but also mutant alligators.
Yeah, you're stuck in your house. There's fucking alligators all over the place.
This director makes what I would call mostly kind of bad movies that I love to watch.
Wait, didn't he also do Don't Breathe?
No, they Sam Raimi produced it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would Sam Raimi put his name behind something really bad? Has he ever?
I think
no. Pretty, I don't
he's
think
got pretty
so.
Good yeah. track record.
He's got
record.
A pretty good track record, except for Oz the Great and Powerful.
Oh God, yeah. Never mind.
Which
yep.
I have to rewatch.
That
as well.
Is a bad movie.
I saw it at the premiere and it sucked.
I saw
like
it in the theater with my mom.
Aww.
Yeah. It was an okay movie to see with your mom.
I feel bad I didn't go see the new Mary Poppins with my mom.
I haven't seen the new Mary Poppins at all.
I haven't seen it either, but I want to see it.
I don't know how Oz managed to do this, but it seemed to somehow retcon a lot of canon things about the Wizard of Oz.
Sure. They just did it. That's Wait, how they did it.
So are you supposed to say Glinda and the wizard are like secretly having an affair? Or like, what's the deal here?
Yeah.
Or the white... Is she Glinda, the white one?
I like the idea that when Dorothy shows up, there's just a lot of drama going on that she's just thrown into.
Oh, that's also the plot of Wicked, though, which does it way better.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, like back to Crawl, though, I didn't know what this movie is going to be about. So I was just like, oh, no, a disaster film. And then it was like, something's down here with me. And I was like, okay, now I'm interested. Then it got to Gators and I was like, dumb. And then I went back and I had a whole spectrum of like emotions
right.
watching this trailer.
Having spent some time in Florida... And I think someone commented this on the YouTube or somewhere, the least realistic part of this is the basement because there's just no basements.
No,
in
you wouldn't
Florida.
Have a basement below sea level.
This is why, because there's fucking alligators.
Because they get full of alligators.
Yeah, they get full of alligators.
Every standing body of water in Florida assume there's alligators. Yeah.
Right, because a kid like literally was killed by an alligator on a Disney World.
Disney World.
So basically, this movie.
I've had encounters with them there.
The unbelievable part is that like anyone during like FEMA or anyone's going to show up for the gator in your basement when there's a national emergency going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on board. This guy makes dumb, intensely violent movies. Yeah. I want to see people get eaten by alligators.
I think this is going to be a great movie to imagine from the alligator's point of view.
Oh my God.
Where, like, they're in some swamp. They're all gathered for like an alligator
family
reunion.
They're like, our world is getting bigger.
Yeah, and then suddenly just one wave just takes them right to this house and they're like, "Wee! Look at all this food."
Well, also the idea of this, I think, that is cool about it is, like, I don't see how he could mess up a concept of this. There's no twist. It's straightforward.
Yeah.
Giant alligators.
Action horror
movie. I honestly don't think you can mess up. Like, I enjoy Lake Placid. I don't think you can mess up any movie about an underwater creature.
It depends on, like, the kind of people you're dealing with on the upside.
Lake Placid is an intensely boring movie.
Anaconda, not a great film.
Oh, I love Anaconda.
At least people get eaten in Anaconda. Two people get eaten in Lake Placid.
Yeah, that's true. Lake Placid's biggest problem is that there's not much alligator action.
Lake Placid's biggest problem is that it thought it was really clever.
It's the writer of Ally McBeal.
I know.
Oh my God. I didn't know that, but that would explain why you put like Oliver Platt in an action movie.
Yeah. There's a lot of problems with
that movie. So these are all unknowns, though, in this movie, and it seems like it's a very personal story. Like, there's not that many characters. I mean, in the sense that there's not that many characters and not, like, a whole team of investigators.
It seems
one chick.
Two people, the lady and her dad, and then a couple of rando rescue workers that are going to be eaten.
That's cool. That's a tight concept. Yeah. I feel like it's not going to sprawl out into a piranha thing.
I mean, I want this to be, you know, an action horror spectacle like Piranha.
Yeah.
But, like, a similar movie that you're describing would have been like The Shallows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or Open Water. Oh God, I can't stand
it. I haven't seen the 47 Meters Down one.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I saw an Australian one that was also about like an open water situation.
The Reef.
Yes.
I think survival, here's the challenge with survival movies for me personally.
And she has to survive two things. She gotta get out of the gator. Then she has to get out of Florida, which
failed to do that.
The problem with survival, and it just has to be done right, where like a lot of them will create frustrating moments where it's like they're almost getting out and then like something dumb happens.
Oh my God.
Like they can't, I guess what it is I don't like a survival movie where it feels like it's them versus the screenwriter.
Yes,
that's why
I know what you're talking about.
I didn't like Don't Breathe for that reason, because it felt like every time they were gonna get out, something like random would happen and keep them, because how hard is it to leave a fucking house? Like, it's just a house. You just have to get out of the house.
I mean, I have this. I know that's like a very good way of playing it. Like, the character's against the writer. What I think this won't suffer from is, like, think about it this way. All of Florida's like drowned now. So even if she gets out of that area, it's not going to be like she's stuck in the house and how do we get her out? It's going to be the whole surrounding
matter.
Thing
yeah,
is a
it
moat.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. It felt like she's not stuck in the house. It's that she has nowhere else to go.
Yeah. And that she has her dad's injured.
I just, because, yeah.
You're like, an alligator town now, baby.
I do want to see about that alligator family. Let's check back in on them. Wee!
What's next?
That's it.
That's the end of the trailers. All right, we did it.
We did it, guys.
We got some news stories.
What are the stories?
We only got a couple. Robert Rodriguez is making a Vegas stunt show with Cirque du Soleil.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm going to have to take all of the drugs and go see this.
Of course.
I mean, it has a narrative, which is interesting for Cirque du Soleil. The saddest thing was reading the actual article.
I think they all technically have narratives. It's just there's no way to know
that. This one's like, it's scripted. And it's like an immersive experience because it's more like, you know, that's the thing. It's going to have screens. It's going to be like more audience of thing. But the saddest thing is literally in the article, it says, "You have no idea how important it is for us to go in a new direction," said like the guy like running Cirque du Soleil.
What are they doing badly? Are they not doing
We're hoping
great?
To attract a younger crowd. Like
it's
like,
fucking great. Everybody goes see Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's clearly not doing okay. If he puts in the press
release, that's the first thing he says.
You have no idea how important it is to us. That's like saddest sentence.
I've seen them a few times and like it's a fucking blast. Again, take drugs. Young kids take drugs and go see
all
Cirque
the drugs.
Tom was pointing out this is like a plot point in This Is 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But one of them I saw was really cool because they didn't start the show. They just, like, there was events within the audience that was just slowly happening.
I think
slowly.
That's just the direction of this.
It was, yeah, it was really cool. Like, they would do these really surreal shit. It's like Blue Man Group. That's another one where it's like...
Blue Man Group and kind Tarantino.
Of, yeah, they seem kind of like a joke, but then if you go see them, you're like, this is fucking crazy.
Sure, sure. I think the other problem with this is, though, taking the Cirque du Soleil beautiful ballet, whatever, like, under the sea theme, and putting a Robert Rodriguez narrative.
That's
and then
cool.
There's talking. Like, yeah. So...
Yeah,
Danny Trejo is going to show
some
up.
There's talking in at least the ones I saw. I'm here's my counter argument is that if you're trying to appeal to the kids, why get Robert Rodriguez for that?
Because he's Spy not, Kids. Like, doesn't he?
I don't think Spy Kids. But
yeah, but it's Spy Kids. Like that didn't that wasn't a huge.
He didn't say kids.
I love Spy
he said
Kids.
Younger audience. I think he means literally the audience that's going to be into Robert Rodriguez who doesn't take your kids to Cirque du Soleil.
They probably mean like older millennials. Yeah.
Like, well, also the other thing that came across is this is immersive. It's yeah. Clearly like the same thing as Sonic. They're trying to like hit into a market that they're right. Not currently hitting.
Well, good for them.
It's exactly like what if it is Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yeah.
I could see doing a lot of blow, doing a lot of games, and then immediately being like, yeah, what's next? Robert Rodriguez
they
is immersive have, room.
Yeah.
They Cirque du Soleil, yeah.
One of my favorite things I saw at Cirque du Soleil, which was clearly
them. How many times have you seen it?
A couple times now. Okay. There was a moment, and what the weirdest part is it was like a span in my life where I just kept falling into tickets. But it doesn't matter.
Good
one of the
Sam.
Best things that they
Sam
did.
It was a good Sam.
Yeah, it was. They did a BMX stunt bike dude and during one of the shows I saw, and it was clearly just some bro, but they just painted him like a clown. So it's like just some jackass who knew how to do good bike stunts.
Well, they say in the article that they actually just have the largest like coterie of like stunt people, which I never associate with Cirque du Soleil. I assume they were all like contortionist ballet people. The idea that they're all like stunt people specifically...
Yeah,
that's
it makes sense.
That's
yeah, it checks out. Yeah,
they
I
do
would
some
watch
hardcore
do,
stuff. Yeah,
they should do the Waterworld stunt show.
Oh my gosh, that's also a side plot in one.
They
love
should adapt
episodes.
That stunt show
adapt
into
it into a film,
yeah.
Into a musical.
Yeah, make, well, that's the thing that was missing in Waterworld. Make it a musical.
Or actually make it the Simpson video game.
Yeah, make yeah. Kevin Costner sing.
Oh no.
the second news story is. That there's been 7 Netflix movies and TV shows announced by Obama's production company. The Obama's production company.
Yeah.
It's both of them.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah. They look like... This seemed silly when I heard that the Obamas were making TV and movies.
The lineup looks exactly like what I'd think about the Obamas making TV, which is like
pretty
Oprah.
Boring.
Thank you. Yeah, I was like, shows that I won't watch, but they will be good.
Yeah, and this is why I think it's a good idea, because they're just like, because, all right, you see the Republicans complaining about Hollywood elites doing stuff and being biased and stuff, and like the answer to that is like, well, make your own shit if you think that. This is what it feels like with the Obama side, where they're just like, let's make our own shit.
Yeah,
Let's try to influence young minds.
Has a former president ever come out with like a TV series? It's kind of a cool concept.
No, Reagan
Jimmy
did TV beforehand.
I wanted to see Late Night with Jimmy Carter.
It does have a potential to become something.
I dropped a soda can.
It's okay.
The audio mic, pick it up.
It's okay.
It does have the potential to reach something or do something like something in terms of the election. Like if enough Netflix, enough of the young voters who voted for Obama and the new class, like get into this. And
what are the different shows?
Okay, one is kind of cool because it's about obituaries of people who are not that famous, which is a very cool concept that I like a lot.
Yeah, he must have read the Cracked article that would come out every year about that.
Or Observers. We actually, in the Observer, we used to write obituaries of people who were not famous who died. It was fascinating.
There's one about a guy opening a factory in like middle America, giving jobs. It's
a Chinese guy who's like trying to make a former GM plant work.
Right. It's all. It's exact. It's the exact
it's
kind
expect,
of boring shit you'd expect from the Obamas.
There's are any scripted?
Kids, there's a kids show.
Are
one is a kids show. Yes, there's a couple dramas as well. Like there's an adaptation based off a novel about some historic crap.
Oh, Frederick. Oh, the Frederick Douglass. That could be good.
There's a Frederick Douglass.
I think that's
well?
The one, the historic one.
Oh, maybe.
That could be good because
yeah,
I remember
that
book
really good.
Being
I'd watch
awesome.
The shit out of that, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like that's like. You watch with your parents. It's like
yeah.
I don't feel
some John Adams shit.
Some
going
shit.
On.
Yeah. Get some John Adams
some
shit.
Some Hamilton shit.
It looks. They look like they could be really good. I mean, I'm sure he can get the best people to do this
of
stuff.
Of course.
And so they just look I don't know.
It plays to the audience that it's for. Like, Marvel can't have a side on the Republicans, Democrats, but Netflix can because, like, they're not trying to impress anybody.
It also doesn't look like propaganda in any sense. Like, it looks like he's just trying to make, like, stuff to appeal to all of America.
Yeah, thoughtful, civic-minded programming.
But to be fair, will anyone who just really hated Obama, like, even dare to put
this No, of course not. I wonder if he won't put his name on it that much, though.
But it's... The whole thing is, like, the whole slate of their stuff. And it does seem very, like, Oprah-esque. Like, these are all shows that, like, if OWN was a better network, like, it would have on it.
Yeah. I guess we'll see. We'll see if he'll what this will end up being.
And,
but...
and don't say it doesn't have a political message. A show about a Chinese guy trying to open a plant in middle America and, like, the dying... That's, like, the most overtly political topic, if not, like, the angle that it will take.
Right.
Well, I think Dave's just saying it's not, like, full-on Dinesh D'Souza.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it doesn't.
It's on
like...
MSNBC.
No,
yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
I want to be more excited about it.
Yeah,
the food thing is so Michelle Obama that it seems interesting.
Oh, you know that food one?
Yeah, the one about like the kid one is about like eat your greens and listen to your parents is literally I think the title.
Right. These are all like things you watch in school. It seems like.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. But also, I think that also nails my problem with it, which is I don't want to be told to eat my greens and listen to my parents. Like, I want something edgier.
I think it's actually, I think it's listen to your greens and eat your parents, I think. No, it's something like playful title like that for that one.
Ah.
Which,
real controversial.
Yeah. The host of it looks like Robert Evans. And I was so excited when I first saw the picture because I was like, oh, did they get Robert for this?
Oh, is it Robert?
It's not. Okay. That's it for stories.
Dave.
Yes.
Dave.
I'm Dave.
Do you have a movie that deserves more hype?
I do. I do, Tom.
Tell us. Tell us about it.
This is called Girls of the Sun.
Uh-huh.
It's coming out April 12th of this year.
That means it's already out.
Yeah, that means it's already out.
Is it? What the fuck day is
it? It's May.
Oh, okay.
You
so you
time
can probably
traveler?
Oh no, sorry. That was limited.
Okay.
Limited and VOD or not?
I don't think VOD yet.
I there's some interesting things here.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is why I chose it, because it's very interesting. It has a 43% on Rotten Tomatoes with critics and a 93% with audiences.
Did you see how many audiences voted though?
Not many.
16 people.
Yeah. That's because
that's less than the crew of the film.
It's the audiences at
less people that are on the bus.
And did you see who do you see who reviewed it? It was mostly women.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they said it was kind of pandering.
That's interesting. Because the premise looks great.
The premise looks great. It looked great, and then I started to look into it more, and I was
the trailer looks great.
Yeah.
It's Taken, but with a female Kurdish fighter trying to get her son back.
Rounding up a resistance force of...
Of women.
Of liberated...
And right now, basically, it premiered.
Are they liberated sex slaves?
Some of them were returned. Some of them escaped. Yeah, I think like it's definitely sold to the other side. Not sold, but were captured by the other side.
It premiered at the Cannes Festival, and the audience seemed to really like it, and the critics hated it.
But what's the difference here?
I don't know.
Like, people who attend Cannes are the critics.
Right. And so that's what that was what I was reading, is it was literally like one theater was people like praising it and the other were people like, that was terrible.
But here's the other concept that I want to throw by you, which is like there's no such thing as like your theory that like maybe the critics hated it because it was too like pro women and like the audience loved it because it was so pro women. That never has happened. If you look at the Ghostbusters score, there's still a 21% markup between critics thinking it's better than audience.
So you're saying it's the opposite.
Yeah. Captain Marvel, same thing. But this is not about like a sweaty fanboy thing. This topic is only going to be seen by people who want to see a woman about Kurdish women. Like,
right.
So I feel like the audience wants to like it. Like, and critics probably want to like it. I don't think the issue is like you go see this movie and like want to shit on it because
so
it ruined your childhood.
Why do you think the audiences liked it more than the...
Well, 16 people liked it.
Right.
I don't know if like I can make a case study about the 16 people. The reviews I read said like it had a lot of potential, but it just goes so pandering, and I could see that. Like it has some sort of pandering element.
It looks so good though.
I agree. I think it looks good, and I think like the concept is badass. But most of it,
the beginning of the trailer
is sweet.
Yeah,
where she's like, yeah, he's dead. He got killed by a woman. You want to get killed by one too, or something?
Yeah,
like that.
Something
it's
like
sweet.
That.
Yeah, it looks like a perfect revenge film. I
can definitely see it be too pandering.
I mean, I kind of get, it just seemed like most of the reviews were written by women and none of them liked it.
Yeah. How are we defining pandering?
Pandering, like, I think, hold on, let me bring it up. But somebody was like, it just seemed like it's supposed to be so raw, raw female womanhood. But on the other hand, it's like, we shouldn't be condoning what they do. But it's so glossy, rose-colored lens of, like,
right.
The resistance. Hold on. I think I can find it.
Right, because it's a complex topic.
Yeah, for sure.
And if it's not treated with that same complexity.
Right. If they turn it into just like a taken kind of thing, yeah, it can right. become, especially because the other side is what? It's Kurdish versus, like, you know, can kind of have a sense of xenophobia if they're like literally demonizing a whole.
Right.
So what they said about it was bleh, admirable ambition, but vexing in execution. If only it had that empowering sentiment as a primary aim, and treacly melodrama.
Huh.
Yeah, a lot of these kinds of movies can be melodramatic.
Yeah.
The female critic from the New York Times said, Girls of the Sun, unlike the women who populate it, is weak and often corny.
Wow.
Fair enough.
Oy. But, you know.
That's okay. This is, I
so
mean,
maybe,
I brought...
maybe it goes too hard on, like, action, then trying to message it. Right. And that could be, like, a tonal whiplash that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you have it taken, but then it's, like, female, like, you know, like, and we were all raped. Let's discuss that. And it's like... Those two movies can't exist
yeah,
in the
it
same
could be
movie.
Yeah, totally.
It's like Time Cop rules.
Insane.
You can't
yeah, that's
be in the same space at the same time.
Yeah, it's literally time travel and cop death.
That's fine.
I mean, yeah.
I've brought multiple films on this that don't have good reviews for the sake of, like, I'm just super curious about what this is.
Yeah.
And what. Like, I think you're right. I think that's the most likely scenario of what this movie turned out to be.
Well, and another point is that audiences, unless you are so fucking moved by something, like in a negative way or in a positive way, do you go on Rotten Tomatoes and add your audience score? Critic scores are just compiled by whenever you come out with a review and something.
Yeah, I tend to be on the critic's side. There, every now and then, there'll be a 90%er that I hate, but it's kind of like the how am I driving stickers, where it's like you don't call unless you're pissed.
Yeah.
Like, people will only read reviews if they're, or write reviews on Rotten Tomatoes if they're, like, passionate in one direction
and
or another.
I'm assuming the score is so high because no, like, Ghostbuster This Ruined My Childhood fanboys are going to see this movie. It's not for
right.
them, and so the people that it's for might like it. And again, the Rotten Tomatoes stuff is interesting because the audience is choose to weigh in. The critics, it's just compiled from whatever publication they work for, and Rotten
right.
Tomatoes just steals it and aggregate.
Yeah.
So they're not doing it to, like, make a statement or vote with their wallets or whatever.
Right.
It's just how critics are reviewing stuff.
I am very curious to watch it. I want to see why it's so divisive amongst critics and these 16 people.
16 people? I haven't ever heard of something that low in terms of audience.
It's just the people who worked on the movie.
That's my one thought.
I don't know.
It's been out in limited release. More than 16 people have seen this movie. It just must be that it's the worst sin, which is that it's not enough to, like, comment
right,
on.
There's nothing to
it.
It
might have only been at festivals thus far.
Yeah.
More than 16 people saw it.
For sure. For
this
sure.
Is, I'm assuming this will show up on streaming and...
Yeah.
And
then we'll watch it and we'll know the truth.
Yeah.
It reminds me... feel like there's been some really good, like, horror movies that have come out of that area of the world. Like, what was the one about the sort of like a vampire, or there was one vampire one, and there was
the
one,
vampire one was a girl
walks
home
alone
at
night.
I need
then,
to see that
which is
one.
Great. And then there was another one that was sort of about like a Babadook
you,
kind of
you've
thing
what it's
fucking
the, you've watched
oh
this
I
one.
Really like this movie, and I forget,
and that
the director is doing something new. Oh shit, this is Under the Shadow.
That's the themes of that played perfectly. You wouldn't think horror works well with that
fantastic.
Kind of commentary, but it's great. Like,
yeah.
Under the shadow of this horrible stuff happening outside, also maybe ghosts. Like,
right. Oh,
that's
so good.
Great.
Also ghosts?
Also ghosts, and also
ghosts,
ghosts maybe? Get some and ghosts also the idea of that movie, which is women are considered hysterical. So, like, no one's going to believe her because she's not allowed to leave the house without a hijab.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Even, like, what I liked about that was even the guys in that who are not dickheads are still like, hey, you know, you can't come out. Like,
and her whole arc is that
she's, like, they don't seem to like it either, but they're still enforcing it. Whether it's like,
it's such
nobody
a good
is on her side.
It's such a good Babadook concept, which is right. She gives up her job being like a potential doctor and like is stuck in this role of being a housewife and like slowly going crazy as bombs are literally detonating like on her roof.
Oh, yes. Now I want to watch that. I would say people should go watch that if they haven't yet.
Yeah. What's it called? Under the Shadow?
Under the Shadow.
Under the Shadow.
It's on Netflix, or at least it was.
Was it? Yeah.
It was for a while.
I think it was on Shudder when I saw it.
I think we must have talked about that that director's next movie is coming soon. And I forget what it is.
I think we did. I think we did.
I don't know.
I have to look it up.
I'm going to trust past us that we did.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
I don't know. I never trust past us.
I trust past me more than future
me.
Has
anyone seen the It Follows sequel?
No, we're going to do it. I think we're doing it this week.
We're going to do Under the Silver Lake.
I'm interested to see how that pans out.
That's another one where it's like...
Could be a lot of things.
The scores were really...
The critics are not liking it.
But you know what? They didn't like it. I'm not saying I always agree with the critics. The critics hate Insidious, which is like literally one of my favorite like new genre.
Right. Well, that's what I... It's hard to tell from Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah,
it's hard
for sure.
to tell. It's totally biased in a way that's like not very visible to the naked eye. It's interesting. It's a whole other topic.
I think that's a sewed.
Yeah,
guys,
we
did. For me
we
on.
Have like we had like three Aww. Things. I like House, Rotten Tomatoes. There's stuff I
Tangents.
Just wanted.
Yeah,
I just want to talk about for another. Couple
we should
hours.
Have a podcast.
All right,
Housecast.
Let's discuss. Also, the last thing I'll say about House is this was on the brink of the opioid epidemic becoming like the biggest plague in America.
Yes.
And so to have your protagonist just sort of dealing with
pills.
It. Look, they dealt with it a lot. Like you said, like it was a main forefront issue, but like they'd handle it differently now.
Kind of reset it. Like they make him quit for a while and then he's just like, back to House.
But that's realistic.
Popping pills. Oh, yeah.
That's how that shit works.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think they treat it as a big deal though.
I don't know.
That felt like a show where they look, Tom.
I feel
Tom,
like he's
just hold while we talk about House.
He overdoses several times and constantly it's the biggest thing. Anyway, House Cast.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for doing the show, Drew.
Yeah, no, you can't keep me away from here.
do you have anything you wanna plug? Where can people find you?
Oh yeah, I'm at Video Drew on Twitter and Instagram and all the things. I am at Collider, and I'll be doing the Schmodown thing on Saturday. I don't know when this episode is going to come out.
This episode airs tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I do know that. I do know your guys' schedule. Never mind. So yeah, on Saturday at 2 p.m., you can watch me play against a kid from the OA, which
Sweet.
Is going to be super exciting. And just check me out.
Sweet.
Cool.
Yeah.
Dave, what do we got?
Yeah, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed.
We
also got twitch.tv/gamefully_unemployed. You watch us play games, and we got exclusive podcasts, and we got t-shirts at tpublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed. These are all things
that you can be a part of.
And let me just add, it's so impressive how you guys have so many things.
too many.
I know. I feel
really
like
it's too many.
you're getting people to pay you what, like just live your lives.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
Like a hellish version of
right.
our lives.
Truman Show.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything is content with you guys. I love it.
Yeah, we don't hang out anymore unless it becomes content.
Exactly.
That's become our lives. Yep. It's very sad.
I think that's why people have podcasts and hang out with friends in LA.
It helps.
Yep. All right, let's get the hell out of here.
All right.
Say goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at thecorlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.